Today is another beautiful day, and we'll look at the next psalm in our row, which is Psalm 148. We have every reason to praise the Lord. These last psalms in the Psalter are psalms of praise. They end with the word hallelujah, and they begin with the word hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. We took 146 the other day, and I will bless the Lord while I live. As long as I have breath, I will praise Him while I have any being. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You see that at the beginning of each of these last five psalms. We happen to be up to the middle one. At the beginning and the end, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We praise Him for who He is. And we praise Him for what He means to us. And in that we grow, because He always means more to us. He becomes increasingly precious to us. And then we also praise Him for what He has done. I guess the first thing, we praise Him for who He is. We find out who He is from His Word. And as we go on in coming to know Him, so we praise Him more. And what He means to us personally, we love Him for that, for revealing Himself to us, and then for all that He has done. But it doesn't start with what He's done, although that's wonderful. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. But our praise ought to begin with just adoration. Lord, you claim my attention. Help me to attend to you with all my heart today, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing. And you claim my heart's affection and my adoration. Oh, come, let us adore Him. We adore Him for who He is, God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Adoring, we bend the knee. We worship, we praise. We bow before you, Lord. Even in life, in human relationships, right? What they call true love, anyway. If you believe in love at first sight, then it doesn't have to do with what the person has done yet, right? It's just what you, all of a sudden, you're just overwhelmed by the sight of her, right? One of the songs from when we were little. Let's see, what was that? Was that one of the Beatles? She walked out of my dreams and into my arms. Now she's my angel divine. Now she didn't do anything yet. She didn't do anything to spoil it yet either. God doesn't do anything to spoil it, does He? But there she was, and oh my, what happened to me? Anyway, so it is when we have a sight of the Lord. As we sing with the Apostle Paul, I have seen the face of Jesus. Tell me not of aught beside. I have heard the voice of Jesus. All my soul is satisfied. And then what He has done for me. He shed His blood on Calvary. He saves me by His grace. And I find my all in Jesus, my eternal resting place. Sometimes I say that's one of Paul's songs. Sister Gerda has Peter's song, Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. But in one of the Ter Stegen books, you've seen those books, Hymns of Ter Stegen and others, there's a rather lengthy poem about the Apostle Paul and his experience of seeing the Lord and how his life was entirely changed. And at the end, there's that verse that we've sung, that chorus, over the years. And that's why I associate it with the Apostle Paul. I have seen the face of Jesus. Tell me not of aught beside. So we praise Him for all these things. And in this particular psalm, the whole of creation is called to praise the Lord. And in yesterday, Psalm 147, we read, "Praise ye the Lord, it is good to sing praises unto our God, it is right, it is pleasing." And then for all these wonderful things that God does, he cares for his people. He sees them in their need, healing the brokenhearted, binding up their wounds. He cares for his people. He cares for the animals, we read here. He delights in the godly. He provides for Jerusalem. He rules over all creation. We praise him for the gift of his word. We closed with that toward the end of this psalm yesterday morning. So many things to praise the Lord for. And in this psalm, all of creation is called to worship God. So let's read it. Let's see, we have 14 verses and more than 14 people. He has raised up a horn for his people. Does someone have another word for horn? Yes.
It says he has made his people strong.
That's what I was thinking. Anybody else? Some different expression there. The horn often speaks of strength, doesn't it, in the Bible when we read about the horn. And I was thinking of the condition of God's people in their weakness. For instance, when they were carried away into captivity and then the Lord brought them back. If these psalms were written after that time, which many believe that they were, that would speak of his bringing them back and restoring them, as we had in Isaiah 40, or as we have in Isaiah 40. Strengthen, comfort, speak forgiveness, speak to their hearts, I will restore them, I will bring them salvation, I'll come with a strong arm. There's another contrast, by the way, I think we spoke about it earlier in the season. Behold your God, and then you see him mighty, bringing salvation, bringing vengeance on the enemies, and then he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. So he's powerful. And, of course, this is strength also, but it's manifestation of his tenderness, his heart, his tender shepherd care. He feeds his flock like a shepherd and gathers the lambs and carries them and gently deals with them. Thank you. Now this includes all of us, doesn't it? If you look here, you find yourself. If you're an old man, you're here. If you're a child, you're here. The young men are here. The maidens are here. The only thing, well, this shows the wisdom of the psalmist that you can't find the old women here. So if you're an old woman, you're not left out, because the psalmist knew that there is no such thing. And he was wise enough to not say old women. He included you under the maidens, okay, because he was wise. Wiser than Paul, wasn't he? When Paul wrote to Titus, he was, "Tell the aged women what they need to know." Okay. But we're all here. Isn't it wonderful that the heavens are called to praise the Lord, and under the, from the earth and in the depths, and then all you people. And one day, all people shall praise the Lord. Every knee shall bow to Jesus and confess that he is the Lord. He has been given the name that is above every name, that at that name, Jesus Christ the Lord, every knee should bow in earth, in heaven, under the earth. And then remember Revelation 5. Where it says, every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. When we enter into worship, I know this is looking forward, but I mean currently, presently, when we enter into worship in the Spirit, we are joining a host, right? All the redeemed on earth, those who have gone before, those who are praising the Lord. We come into a great choir, the whole family of God. And we're worshiping in the Spirit the one who deserves all praise, the one who alone is worthy. So he deserves praise from the heavens, praise in the heights, praise from the earth, praise from the deeps or the depths, and praise from all of creation. And then the crown of creation, the men and women that he has made. He has created us, and we are his. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. Oh, thank you, Lord. And your name is excellent, your glory is above the earth and heaven. But then you also work for us. He exalts the horn of his people. As Sister Aletha said, he makes weak people strong. He restores people who have who are in such deep need of his working. And he has done that for us. And he is the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel. That includes us, a people near unto him. A people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Just in closing, I want to sing a song, but I want to mention that we've spent a lot of time in, or we've given a bit of attention to Romans 5 this summer also. The boys had the first 11 verses memorized in the last session, the fourth period. And every once in a while, I've noticed we've come back to some of the thoughts there in Romans 5. And one of the great things I've noticed there, or it's been called to my attention, I don't suppose I have an original thought. Does anybody? We don't have anything we didn't receive, but those synonyms for the sinners there in 6, 8, and 10 of Romans 5. We were enemies, we were sinners and enemies. But the first one, we were without strength. When we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. And that speaks of the fact that we were utterly unable to help ourselves. When we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. And what did God do for us in Christ? He gave us new life. He gave us his grace. He gave us his strength. And he continually imparts strength to his people. Paul's prayer for the Ephesian Christians was that according to the riches of his glory, God would strengthen them with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in their hearts by faith. And you know the rest of that. It says that you being rooted and grounded in love might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and breadth and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's a mighty prayer. And it was prayed for them, inspired by the Holy Spirit, because God has an answer to that prayer for his people. He wants to answer that prayer in his church. And so we can look to him and believe for his working, that Christ might become more real, more precious, more present within us. By faith, we need a strength to receive him, a spiritual strength. It comes from him. And so Paul prayed, according to the riches of his glory, may God strengthen you with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Oh, praise the Lord. What a great salvation. What a mighty Savior. He takes people that are unable to save themselves or to help themselves in any way. Or as we had in 146, the Lord raises those that are bowed down. Hallelujah.